Thanks, Kristen. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. With the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy approaching, many are reflecting on the life, legacy, and politics of the 35th president of the United States.
And our next guest says that despite his status as a liberal icon, JFK's political career and accomplishments show the opposite, and he was actually quite the conservative.
Joining us now is Ira Stoll, author of JFK Conservative. Ira, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here again.
So is this hard to pin down, the words conservative, liberal, the policies they're attached to? They change over time. Is it hard to have this argument today over who was a conservative and a liberal 50 years ago?
I agree these definitions are blurry and they do shift over time. But I know a book full of evidence that by the definitions of both his time and ours, Kennedy was a conservative. Eleanor Roosevelt was asked in 1958 by a television reporter, what if the Democrats nominate a conservative like Kennedy and the Republicans nominate a liberal like Rockefeller? She said she hoped it didn't come to that. So Kennedy was labeled as a conservative all through his career.
How did he become a liberal icon, do you reckon?
Well, the argument I make in this book is that some of the more liberal members of his administration wrote these best-selling books that really distort the history to the point of excising sentences out of speeches and changing the chronology of certain speeches to make it look like wishful thinking. Kennedy was more liberal than he actually was.
Let's talk about a few of the things you offer up as evidence. You talk a lot about his tax policy. Make the case that we would recognize that then, maybe, and now as more of a conservative approach.
That's right. So the liberal Keynesian economists at the time actually opposed the Kennedy tax cuts. John Kenneth Galbraith wrote to a Keynesian Harvard economics professor who was ambassador to India, wrote to Kennedy, as usual, I would oppose a tax cut. They wanted to increase public spending instead. And then Galbraith actually came to Washington from India to argue against a tax cut. He went back to the White House mess and told his colleagues dejectedly, you know what, you guys, you've won. The president finally told me to shut up about my opposition to the tax cut. Al Gore Sr., the senator from Tennessee, Clinton's vice president's father, described the Kennedy tax cuts at the time as a bonanza for the rich, a bonanza for fat cats is the term he used. And Kennedy went ahead with them anyway, rejecting demands by the AFL-CIO that he restructure them so that more of the benefits went to lower-income people. And Reagan cited those tax cuts as an example later when he was doing his tax cutting. When liberals say, oh, well, the rates at the time were higher, the Eisenhower-Nixon rate was 91%.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the capital gains rate at the time was 25%. Kennedy wanted to lower it to 19.5%. which is lower than the top capital gains rate is now. Now it's 23.8%.
But wanting to cut something from a 91% marginal rate over a certain amount of money, I mean, a lot of people who would be considered liberals now might not be comfortable with that high a number.
Well, you know, now if you include state and local taxes, the top marginal rates in California and New York City are above 50%, with the government taking more than half of every dollar at the top end that people earn. Kennedy's Treasury Secretary, Douglas Dillon, who was a Wall Street banker and a Republican donor, who Senator Gore actually tried to talk Kennedy out of appointing as Treasury Secretary because he knew he was such a tax cutter, was interviewed immediately soon after Kennedy's death and was asked if this Kennedy tax cut was the end of the tax cutting or if there was room to cut rates even more. And he said he hoped it would be the first of many, especially if the Cold War ended and the government had to spend less money on the military.
So on domestic policy, people look back at John F. Kennedy as the guy who pushed for Medicare at the time. It was called socialized medicine, much like the Clinton health care program, the Affordable Care Act now. That's a big government program. Is that something that conservatives at the time or now would get behind?
Well, Kennedy did give a couple speeches in favor of Medicare. You're right about that. But liberals at the time were disappointed in him for not pushing harder. His priorities were really free trade and the tax cut. And I think it's one of the reasons that Medicare did not get passed during his administration, even though he had Democratic control of both the House and the Senate, is that he did get the trade, a free trade bill passed, and that was really his legislative priority along with the tax cut. And not civil rights legislation either, by the way, which was a lower priority for him than the tax cut.
But still a priority.
Yeah, I mean, towards the end of his administration, in 1963, Kennedy proposed this big civil rights legislation. And I think Kennedy deserves credit for sending federal marshals in and even troops in to integrate some of the segregated Southern universities. But Martin Luther King at one point described Kennedy's record on civil rights as essentially cautious and defensive. And I think the record is mixed. Kennedy even initially opposed the 1963 March on Washington, where King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech.
Charlie in Milwaukee has called in to, I don't think we'll have time to take his call, but he says, you know, Kennedy's more of a pragmatist. He's making decisions not necessarily on a conservative ideology, but on a case-by-case basis with what works. Is that a more accurate depiction of Kennedy, you think? Pragmatist, not conservative?
Well, you know, I hope people buy and read my book. There's a book's worth of speeches from the very beginning of Kennedy's career. My book begins with a speech he gave as a congressional candidate in 1946, talking about the rights of the individual against the state and Christian morality. He talked about the cynical philosophy of many of our intellectuals and the doctrine of collectivism abroad. And he kept talking like that all through the 1960 campaign. He talked about two conflicting ideologies, freedom under God versus ruthless, godless tyranny. I mean, that's not the language of a pragmatist. That's a language of you know, someone who sees it more clear cut, as he said in another speech, in terms of good versus evil, right versus wrong.
You mentioned Ronald Reagan citing John F. Kennedy's tax cuts. Other than that, have conservatives been willing to embrace JFK as an icon or as an example?
Well, Scott Brown, a Senate candidate in Massachusetts, began his initial successful U.S. Senate campaign as a Republican in Massachusetts with a YouTube ad that morphed Kennedy's face and speech about tax cuts into Brown's own face and Brown's voice speaking the same words. And George W. Bush also, in talking both about tax cuts and enduring in the Iraq War, cited Kennedy in terms of his inaugural address where he said, "Americans must pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and success of liberty," or as Kennedy said, liberty.
Ira, thanks so much for joining us again today.
My pleasure.
That's Ira Stoll. His new book is JFK Conservative.